Your Steve Jones Show podcast will start shortly. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Brewers Outlet, your beverage supermarket on Reagan Street in Sunbury. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
What a show we have for you today. Any show that includes an exclusive interview with the suit has awards written all over it. We'll also have Zach Showers on the show. Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. And it's Pick'em Day. Now, this is a fun show today. I think they're all, most of them are fun. Yesterday was not a fun show. Because we spent an hour with two really good guests. It's not fun talking about the death of somebody a lot of people really enjoyed watching play, and that was Roy Halladay. So no, that was not a fun show. Yes, it was an informative show, but not a fun show. Today's a fun show. My understanding is on Monday, the Open was produced for Friday night's game.
Correctamundo.
Do we have access to it?
It's probably in our system somewhere, but I don't know where it is. I'd have to look.
I think it'd be worth listening to.
It could be. Could be.
We could play it right before he comes on. What do you think?
I'll definitely look into it.
And we're in the fourth overtime here. For those of you who are hoping to hear a high school football playoff game somewhere in the state.
I couldn't resist. I had to share that with Sammy out the front desk this morning. She got a kick out of it, too.
And the suit will tell you that Sammy's his biggest fan. Once again, delirium is an issue. It's an issue. So, yeah. So today we've got Zach in the suit previewing Shikellamy Sealands Grove. We've got Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, and then Pick'em. Fun show today. And then tomorrow, basketball season gets going. Doug's going to be at Monmouth on Eagle 107. That's why the Shikellamy broadcast is going to be 94KX tomorrow night, starting at 6, 7 o'clock, the kickoff. The suit, who could fill an entire hour, only gets a half hour in WKOK to fill until we get to 7 o'clock. But that also includes the 14-minute open. Or is it shorter than that?
Let's set the over-under. 2.5 minutes?
2.5 minutes. That's a good time. I'm going to say...
Trying to remember the when we were kicking around the open when he was debating on what music to use a few weeks ago. I'm trying to remember how long that was. I think that may have been $1.45, maybe.
I'm saying it's under 2 minutes. It's under two. It's under two. The only problem is that he has to overcome the heavy breathing part. It's a big game. Slow down. Is he still pacing?
Yes. Walked out of the studio a few minutes ago, actually, right as Sarah was finishing up the news. He goes, "Was there somebody yelling for me?" And I said, "Yeah, that was Lawrence about 2 o'clock. I said, "Where were you an hour ago?"
Did it just get to him? Good news. Wow. We're in the fourth overtime. It's 7:45 here in the East Coast. Could you see him? He'd be at a bridge.
Oh, kidding me?
He would be at a bridge. Skippy. Oh, goodness.
Yeah, choose your bridge. Either the Veterans Memorial Bridge, the King Bridge. Take your pick.
They all work.
Yes, they do.
Not funny.
Veterans Memorial Bridge would be closest proximity from where he'll be tomorrow night, so he'll probably be there.
Mm. Yeah. Pacing back and forth. Hmm. Well, I think, you know what, I told a couple of friends about this, and I've told them, I said, look, this is really, really neat. They get two rivals like this, head-to-head with big stakes. You better bundle up tomorrow. It's going to be cold tomorrow night. I mean, that's that will come into play, you know. How much wind tomorrow, do we know? Because obviously Seals Grove loves to throw the football. Do we have any read on when it's going to be cold?
Cast up here.
Because it's going to affect the kicking game. Because that ball may feel like a rock tomorrow night. And that's something you need to be aware of, that the ball may feel like a rock when you kick it. Suddenly, you've got no distance on that thing at all. And what game time temperature is what tomorrow's going to be? What, maybe 27, 28? Does that sound right?
Oh, wow. I'm calling for an overnight low tomorrow night of 16.
Let's do the hour by hour here. About usually 4 or 5 in the morning when that happens,
yeah.
Though.
Check the hour by hour for tomorrow.
He's doing it right now.
Yeah, my 4G on the phone's just kind of spinning right now.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
It's okay. I'll check it myself.
It's kind of hit or miss here with.
But I mean, it's going to be cold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's my point. The point is, it's just, you know, if there's a little bit of wind, it affects the kicking game. If it affects the passing game, there's a lot of different areas that wind affects. And if it's a cold wind, you know, which then drops the wind chill down further, that ball's going to be like a rock to kick. And that's my point when it comes to this stuff. Then it changes. You know, how far up do you then go and put yourself in a spot to receive a punt, for example, or a kickoff?
Okay, hour-by-hour breakdown. Clear all the way through tomorrow night, 6 to 10 p.m. Temperature at 6 tomorrow night, 27, down to 22 by 10 p.m. Wind between 5 to 10 miles an hour. I feel like Jack Ham before kickoff on the Learfield.
And you do not take away that segment from him.
No. Hey.
You do not supersede.
I said it before. I'll say it again. He's the guy leading up to kickoff last Saturday. He's the one that said iffy.
Yeah.
With an emphasis on iffy. 10-mile-an-hour winds tomorrow night in the 6 o'clock hour. 8-mile-an-hour winds in the 7 o'clock hour. 5 to 6-mile-an-hour winds, 8, 9, and 10 o'clock hours tomorrow night for Sunbury.
So wind's a little bit of a game. Is a little issue in this thing. I mean, not huge, but 10 miles an hour is not exactly a gentle zephyr.
The projected game time temp tomorrow night at 7, 25 degrees. AccuWeather real feel at 18.
Ooh, brutal.
Yes. I should buy my stock in hot chocolate for Shikellamy Stadium tomorrow night.
You're going to be safely ensconced in the studio. Right?
You betcha.
Hey, I'm not going out.
You betcha.
Now, I've got a game, obviously, that will lead into it. And believe me, we'll be done by 6:30. We'll be done before 6:30, I think. I think there's a very good chance of that.
We've already reached out to one high school football coach we hopefully will have on tomorrow night on Sunbury Motors Game Night, special edition over on 94KX. If all bodes well for that team. Have him on tomorrow night, so, yeah.
Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. First time we'll ever have a coach on the show on game
That's
night.
Great. Mm-hmm. Oh, here's a good one from Matthew Shirk. What are the tie-breaking rules for the Big Ten East? I was looking at this and wondering what happens if Ohio State beats Michigan State and Illinois, then somehow loses to Michigan, and assuming they all win the other games, including Penn State winning their last three games. All four teams would end up 7-2 in conference play, but no one team would have beaten the other two. If I read the rules right, that would then go to overall record, in which case both Michigan State and Ohio State would be 9-3, Penn State would be 10-2. Matt, you're right. I mean, believe it or not, Penn State does still actually have a shot at winning the Big Ten East, but it has to start, obviously, with Penn State winning its own game this week. Yeah. So, I feel like Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels. So you're saying there's still a chance? Yes, I am. But Matt, thanks. Thanks a lot for the nice email. Appreciate that. Helped out a lot. We will take a break. We're leading up to the big half hour where the suit is going to spill all the knowledge he knows about this game. Now, I'd like to point out that just to give you a visual, at some point in the middle of that, Sean and I will leave. Right, then come back and he'll still be talking. What do you think?
Oh, I got to refill my water cup.
Take your time. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. So Sean asked me in the break. We found the suits open. There's some meat and potatoes to it, right?
Well, if you want to hear it before the bottom of the hour, we'll have to play it right away so we have it.
No. I want to play it before he comes on.
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, like, to intro him.
Yes.
I think that would be great, don't you think?
Sure.
Right. So it's over 3 minutes, right?
Yes.
Is it more than four?
No.
Okay.
Down the middle.
Because my original guess was 90 seconds. So Sean says to me, he says, what was your intro to the Rose Bowl?
And when I asked that, I knew it definitely wasn't even a minute and a half. I knew that.
Well, I remember I told you exactly what the intro was.
Mm-hmm.
There are only five words needed to set this game up. Welcome to the Rose Bowl. That was it. I mean, do you need more?
Steve says to me, you've got that in this system, right? Oh, yeah, that's the one where you finish on the Penn State Sports Network from Learfield. I'll find that right away. It's right here in the stack. Easy grab, sure.
Oh, my God. I remember that's exactly what I said. There are only five words needed to set this game up. Welcome to the Rose Bowl. Oh, God. Look, and I appreciate the effort, the whole thing.
We all do.
Yeah. But do we have any requests? Do we have an archive of all the opens?
I would think the ones that he has produced should still be in the system. I don't think they have been taken out.
Yes, but have we had any requests for them?
If so, I did not actually get any face-to-face from someone or by email, nothing like that.
Besides Suit Light. He's a bundle of nerves today. And he's got, I have three games in 3 days. He has the harder of the two assignments because he has two footballs back-to-back days. Yeah, so that's a lot more. There's a lot more preparation in football because basketball, you only have 12 players on each team.
And the good thing is both are home games for Kev, so.
No, that's the good part.
That is the good part.
But he has a lot more names to know, even though three of the four teams he already has great familiarity with. It's obviously the second time he's doing Sealands Grove. Was this the 11th game for Shikellamy? Plus, as the analyst, he's done all, you know, he's been around Bucknell. Georgetown's the only team he doesn't know. So
this will be the 12th game for both teams. Both teams are 9-2.
9-2? 12th game. Yes. There you go. Mm-hmm. So it'll be the 13th time he's seen Shikellamy. Second time he's seen Sealands Grove. He's seen Bucknell all season. The only team he hasn't seen is Georgetown. That's good. I mean, yeah, think about the emotion around this game. This game is different than other district playoff games. I was talking with some friends yesterday about district playoffs, and everybody's like, yeah. Well, you know, like I said, one TV station's not even going to bother doing it. And Shikellamy Sealands Grove, now that game just has a lot of area juice in it. I think it's marvelous. Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports, coming up 4:06 today. Then picks in the final half hour. We're brought to you today by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Stock up for that tailgate right now. Go on over, pick it up, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast the peanuts fresh and hot every day. And that pickle bar is absolutely second to none. Love the barrels and love the dills. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Zach Showers and Kevin Herr to preview the big game. Next half hour, Dennis Dodd. National look at college football at 4:06 from CBS Sports. And then the picks for the weekend.
You and I are now tied overall. You tied up with me. I had a rough one last week.
Baby steps.
Mm-hmm.
Baby steps. I can't begin to tell you a single game I picked. I think I picked the Cowboys and you guys picked the Chiefs or something, right?
You are correct.
That one I remember.
That was a swing game.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket. Imports, domestics, microbrews, best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. That pickle bar is indeed second to none. Led by the barrels and the dills. We're in the Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And coming up in the next half hour, Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports will talk about the national view of college football. And then picks in the final half hour. Tomorrow in this time slot, Penn State basketball, Dick Girardi and I together. My 36th season, the 14th I've worked with a great man, and we'll get it rolling tomorrow at 3:30 with a 4 o'clock tip-off. The big one tomorrow night, you'll hear on 94KX at 6 o'clock with a 7 o'clock kickoff, as well as News Radio 1070 WKOK will be Sealands Grove and Shikellamy. Let's get the opposing viewpoints now on each team. Let's start with Zach Showers. Zach, welcome back. You've been great with us all year, and we appreciate it.
Hey, thanks for having me back again.
Zach, what is the difference in the Sealands Grove team that you see today compared to the one that lost to Shikellamy earlier in the season?
I think you're seeing a team that's just come into their own over the last couple weeks. That was a game where I think if anything could go wrong, it went wrong for Sealands Grove. I think they're a more experienced team. Their defense is playing a lot better than what it did that game. And there's a little bit more balance on the week four matchup. I think the running game was pretty much non-existent, and they've got some production out of Joe Kahn since that time. So I think you're seeing just a senior-laden team, again, as we've talked about all season, who you knew the passing game was a given going into this season, but they've been able to balance it with a running game and just solid defense.
What turned the running game around, Zach? Because, you know, you could say you're committed to running the football, but there's actual execution of it. Where did you start to sense that they could run the ball effectively and balance it out?
It actually started against Jersey Shore in week six. And really just looking at the tape, it seems like the offensive line just found a comfort level with it. They weren't necessarily asked to do it. Jonesboro's not a team that comes out and says, hey, let's establish the running game and then we'll do play action. It's been more of let's get the passing game going, and if the passing game's not going, then let's go to the running game a little bit more. So there still have been games where they haven't relied on it, but there's been two games against Jersey Shore and later against Mount Carmel where the other teams give them credit, lock down Selinsgrove's wideouts and put some pressure on Leiby, and they've had to go to it. So all in all, like anything, you know, with offensive line play, it takes time for the team to gel. And even though there's a number of starters, it just seems like after playing together, many of them after 2 years, they're just a lot more comfortable with their protection and just the scheme.
Let's talk about conditions for a moment. A little bit different than the first time they played. You're going to have wind chills down in the upper teens, lower 20s tomorrow night. Wind maybe about 5 to 10 miles an hour. Is there a concern on Selinsgrove because of style of play and the way they throw the football that does become a factor?
I don't know if there's necessarily concern from the coaching staff or the kids. I think as sitting back in the press box looking at it, Kevin and I were actually texting about this last night a little bit about the field, and Selinsgrove has a turf field, and they've been used to playing on a turf field where, you know, every hop is true and every cut is true. So going into that, yeah, there's a little bit of concern, but I think this team has also played in a number of games like that the past couple years that there's been games last year, for example, in the district final against Jersey Shore where they did struggle in similar conditions to this. And I think it's something that the coaching staff can look at and say, you know what, this is what happened last time. Let's make the adjustments. But I would say that honestly, the field and the turf is probably a little bit more of a concern, especially after, you know, we've had some rain today as well throughout the day. So it's probably going to be a little bit wetter there tomorrow night than what we expected even earlier this week.
Plus, Kevin was taking a machine going up and down just to make it work. It's just the way some people are in the business. What about the kicking game? The kicking game gets greatly affected on nights such as these. What kind of kicking game has Selinsgrove had this year?
They've been inconsistent, to be honest. The kickoffs have been a little bit inconsistent. There's been weeks where they've been okay. They only have, I believe, two field goals. Earlier in the year, they made, or about halfway through the year, they made a change. There's a freshman kicker, Kyle Rule, who's come in and was a little bit inconsistent at first, but the last three or four games, he's been much more consistent. And I think sometimes, even at the high school level and college level, a lot of it comes down to blocking and assignments on extra points, and that's improved over the past couple weeks. So it's not something that I don't know if Selinsgrove necessarily feels comfortable, you know, having to make a big field goal outside of 30 yards in this game. But the kicking game has been much, much better the past couple weeks.
Zach, absolute pleasure. Appreciate the time very much and the great information.
Hey, thank you so much. Hopefully we'll be talking next week.
All right. Sounds great. Thanks, Zach.
Thanks.
Sean, hit it.
Tonight, the Chicoutimi Braves have home field advantage for the first time ever in the District 4 Class Quad A playoffs. But to cap off one of their best seasons in over two decades, the Chicoutimi Braves will have to get past their rival Selinsgrove Seals for the District 4 championship and to go into inter-district play in the state tournament. They've already beaten Selinsgrove once this year with an outstanding interception to seal the deal late in the ballgame.
Riding. The shotgun, sidecar left, three receivers near side, back to pass, Limey down the middle of the field, intercepted!
field. Jake Krakowski picks it off at the three, and I can say it now.
The Seals have had three tough opponents, including a nail-biter against Jersey Shore a week ago, while the Braves have been able to cruise into the playoffs with some big-time plays a week ago against Athens.
Linebackers are setting up the blitz from the outside. They bring it from the middle instead. Fault picks it up. Tilford fires downfield. Lucas got it! Lucas is gone! Touchdown, Shikalemi! Kane, back to pass, looking into the end zone. On the slant, dodge! Touchdown! Shikalemi, Hunter Dodge on the post pattern, gets it for six from 23 out, and Dodge gets on the board again.
Low snap controlled.
Krieger blocked it again. That's two blocks, and picking it up is Gabe Tilford. Gabe will run it down the sidelines. Touchdown, Shikalemi. Krieger with block number six. And Gabe Tilford with a special team score.
It's Shikalemi hosting Sealands Grove for the District 4 Class Quad A Championship. And it's next on News Radio 1070 WKOK and on the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.
Is it over?
Love the Gaga.
Really, I mean, a little Gaga in there, that nice touch.
Love the Gaga.
I mean, that was the part that excited me.
Oh, really? Come on. I'm excited right now.
Okay, let's get to the game. Very nice job in the open.
Thank you.
I'm sure you threw your heart and soul into it. Okay.
I only redid it twice, so it's not too bad that way.
What?
Really? All right, three times.
All right. Well, let's get to it. Okay, there's certain things that happened during the course of the year. Was that Sealands Grove game the one that told you that they were on their way to having a season that had a lot of magic to it?
I think there were two. I think the Sealands Grove game was number one. I think that was the game that gave them the confidence that they could keep a lead, maintain a lead, and play with adverse conditions. You got to in adversity, I should say, not adverse conditions. You have to understand that moments before the Krakowski interception, Shikalemi throws one in the end zone to ice the game. It gets picked off and run back 50 yards to the midfield stripe with about a minute 30 left in the game, and Sealands Grove has a chance to kick a field goal and win this game before Tate Krakowski makes the interception inside the 10-yard line. That's the one where I think Shikalemi believed, okay, maybe this year we are not going to be snake bit. Maybe this year we can overcome some mistakes. Then I think you look toward the Loyal Sock game where they came from behind twice in that game, two scores down both times to win it and set themselves up for the Heartland Conference Championship and home field advantage throughout the playoffs. That's the one that I think set everything in motion for where we are right now.
I've talked to a number of friends, Kevin, the last couple of days, and there's no excitement anywhere about district playoffs or anything. TV station here that covers everything, they're not even going to bother covering it. And I said, but I found a game, I said, that has genuine excitement, rivalry, and so forth. What emotion are you seeing around town in the area because of the stakes of this game?
I think they've already started to line up in front of the gates at Shikalemi Stadium to make sure they get a good seat.
No, I think that anything anybody does is insane, Kevin. It's 40 degrees out. The temperature's dropping down to 32. So, no, it's not happy. This is not Paternoville.
No, I'm obviously joking about that, but I can tell you they are going to line up as soon as school starts to end tomorrow. They will be ready to get in line because it's going to be an opportunity where you're going to have to get there early to get a seat. It's going to be standing room only. You know, Coach Hort talks about this.
Did they put extra seats in, move any extra bleachers in?
And not that I'm aware of, because there's a lot of area that's asphalted into the entrance zone, and that's where a lot of people will hang out around the fence there. And that's what I was just about to say. Coach Hort always talks about how in the glory days of Shikalemi, they used to fill the area around the end zone zone, and we're starting to see that come back this year, where they're starting to fill in that area around the end zone in the standing spots if you can't get a spot to sit. And you talk about excitement. I don't care where you go in the Valley right now. This is the game that everybody's chatting about, whether it's going to be Sealands Grove or whether it's going to be Shikellamy. Right. This might be the only time we have seen a game where everybody feels this is a 50-50 game.
Right. See, every, you know, I talk to other people from other areas. York, State College, Altoona, no juice, none. This game has genuine juice that people are. I said this is the one that I know that people are excited about in this area. Shikellamy advances if.
Shikellamy advances if they continue to make the defensive plays that they've been making the last couple of weeks. I would say this is one of the rare teams you're going to see in this area in high school football that can change the game on offense, defense, or special teams. And they've done it six times with defensive and special team scores, including the one you heard there last week with the block punt and the fumble recovery and the recovery for a touchdown.
I actually heard eight different. I can, after a while, I can differentiate. Sean, did you differentiate?
No, I'll plead the fifth.
Thanks.
Thanks, Sean.
Thanks.
You and Bruce Pearl.
But I think that's what makes I think that's what'll be the difference in this game. If Shikellamy can take advantage of a mistake and instantly put points on the board like they have been this year.
Yeah. What about the cold weather? It seems to me like Shikellamy's better built for cold weather than Sealands Grove in some ways.
Yeah, I think Joe Faulk is going to be the kind of guy that is not going to be bothered by the weather in the running game, especially. This is
Running game, that cold weather doesn't affect the running game
exactly.
at all.
That's exactly right. And this is a team that does, even though they'll spread you out and run out of the shotgun and pistol, they will run more times than they're going to throw the football. When they throw the football, though, it's usually deep patterns, and when Gabe Tilford starts connecting, that's usually the difference in the game, and that's where I think the weather is going to really become a factor. These receivers and Gabe at quarterback haven't had to deal with icy cold hands and a really hard football coming at you from about 40 yards away. I think that's where the difference is going to be.
Yeah, good point. What's it taken for you knowing that? Because Doug has to do basketball at Monmouth and then at Arkansas. So you've got both games on back-to-back days. So what is it taking you in terms of time commitment to make sure you give each one their just due?
It was 12:30 last night when I turned in. I spent about 3 hours last night on the Bucknell game. I had already spent about 3 hours on, actually it was probably about 2 hours on this game. You mentioned it earlier. I had a lot of the notes. I've seen a lot of the players already. So I had a pretty good idea of where I was going. I only had to punch in a couple of different things, but I had to pretty much work from scratch with Bucknell and Georgetown. So it was a little bit longer on that one. And Georgetown's a really, now I know this is slightly off topic, but Georgetown's a little bit interesting because they've had a revolving door at quarterback. There's been about five guys that have played quarterback.
That's right.
So I'm really not sure what to look for there. So I've been really spending a lot of time on the Georgetown offense.
All right. Well, hey, good luck this weekend. I know you'll do great on both. It'll be a lot of fun for you.
This has to be the most fun weekend I've had in a long time. It's a lot of work, but I'm telling you what, I've got two really entertaining games, and I'm looking forward to both of them.
It'll be a lot of fun. Shikellamy game will be on News Radio 1070 WKOK. That will be coming up tomorrow night at 7 with a 6:30 airtime. Georgetown Bucknell will be on Eagle 107 on Saturday. Kevin Herr with the call on both. Kevin, thanks.
Thanks, Steve. Appreciate it.
All right, we'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
20 by the 20th.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai needs to sell 20 Hyundais by November 20th to keep up with manufacturer demands.
If you want to have a fun day, you have to drive a Hyundai
from Sunbury Motors Hyundai.
Save $5,000
on a 2017 Hyundai Elantra SE starting at $15,170. Buy a $24,820 Hyundai Sonata for only $19,370. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is discounting all
all Hyundais to levels never seen before to reach their 20 Hyundai sold by November 20th. The nimble Hyundai Tucson has sacrificed by over $3,000 to an unbelievable $23,318. And the midsize Hyundai Santa Fe Sport has $46.99 knocked off. All new Hyundais come with America's best warranty.
10 years, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai needs to be on your list for your next import vehicle. Sunbury Motors Hyundai in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Elantra and Sonata listed were SMC loaner vehicles.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
What's really neat is that we taped everything that was said during the break, and we're about to play it back.
I don't know. We may get nailed with triple secret probation if we do that.
All I know
light
is...
Light a match. Let's strike that from the tape.
Just want you to know. But that worked out terrific.
That's for the after show.
Oh, this is for the never heard again show. I think he just fell down on the floor.
He's still standing. He's good.
Oh, God. Oh. That's just... Sorry, we couldn't help ourselves, but it was just another suit moment. Oh, goodness gracious.
We're glad you're still part of the show, too.
Yes, thanks.
Next half hour, Dennis Dodd, CBS Sports. But you know what? It's really, I mean, think about next week. I mean, there'll be a winner out of this, and we'll talk to whomever next week about what the next step happens to be. But, you know, I mean, it's not going to, it'll have great juice, obviously, for that group, right? I mean, great juice for that group. But, I mean, think of this week. You got two communities that are just really into what's going on here. Isn't that terrific? It's terrific. Yeah, I mean, yeah. I mean, the Sue Frilly and Mitzi and Pat O'Brien don't talk. Yeah, I think Pat's such a good guy.
This is the only couple days out of the year where they don't share anything with each other, and they freely say that to anybody.
Yeah, but see, I talked to Pat, and he says, I just listen when he shares.
Now, Kev shared everything with Pat this week. They're good. But the line in the sand has been drawn.
Absolutely. Well, I guess they had to erect a concrete barrier in between the two broadcast booths.
Matt Catrillo will be doing the SEC V8 call. We'll put him in the middle. He'll be Switzerland tomorrow night.
Oh, thank goodness, a neutral party. I can hear it at the end. We did it! We did it! What?
Your station for news, weather, business, and CBS Sports Radio. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury and on WKOK.com.